Broadcasting from the Annie Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team, and welcome to the Annie Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and man, what a huge response from everyone checking out the magazine this month with Matt Savage as our feature. We have some other exciting things coming up that Elle and I will be talking about on Table Talk, so make sure to listen up there. But also, the Madness Cup is getting ready to start over at advancedpokertraining.com. That starts on the 1st, and there isn't any cost associated with that, so check it out. I've also managed to continue to grow that bankroll from zero over on Global Poker. I think I'm at 140-something. I'm going to start recording some of those sessions. I'm not going to live stream them at this point, but I am going to put up some highlights over on our Patreon page. Also, speaking of the Patreon page, if you're wanting to ask some questions of our next feature in the magazine, join us on Patreon. The call or the raise level gives you the chance to submit your question or your questions. And I'm going to do that interview on Wednesday, so get your questions in. And while I'm thinking about it, welcome to Mortis Thesaurus. They're our latest member of the Patreon page. And we're going to be playing that next Patreon members game on the 11th of April. So I hope to see as many of you there as possible. That's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle. How's it going?
Good. Feeling a little sassy. I have a new hairdo. That's what happens when the ladies get the new hairdo. We feel a little sassy.
Well, you can be sassy all you want. I'm just going to go watch the ball game because baseball's back. So
you already have been glued to the tube.
I have.
Don't even act like you're just going to start watching. Yeah. You started watching yesterday.
I did. Yesterday was opening day.
I'm aware.
Opening day. So, also, the very first Royal of the season stepped up to the plate and hit a home run. First time that's happened since 1984.
40 years.
40 years, yeah.
40 years since that's happened for the Royals.
For the Royals, yeah. And the last person to do it
was Onyx Concepcion.
Yes.
I'm learning my Royals trivia, guys.
Did that 40 years ago against Ron Guidry. So There's your little bit of trivia for today.
Well, I'm also feeling a little sassy because the cruise website is up.
It is. I'm excited about that.
Get on it, guys, because those rooms are already going, I think, pretty quick, especially if you want a room on the outside of the ship instead of the inside of the ship. I would highly recommend that you jump on that very quickly. We have details that we'll be willing to share with you even more so in the next 2 weeks, but we have some interesting folks that might be joining us. So stay tuned for those details, but check out the website. You can hit the link from myriad of places. Tell us, Joe.
So you can go obviously to AnnieUpMagazine.com, and down at the bottom, there's a banner. You can click on that. That'll take you right to the information, but you can also just type in AnnieUpCruises.com
or
bring that up.
Or if you're reading the magazine, there's a link in the magazine. And then social media, you can go to our link tree.
Correct. Got all that. We have covered all the bases, I think.
We think. There's always one that we leave out. But there's a lot of ways you can access it. We really are looking forward to seeing you. I know cruising in October is a different time of year, but reduces in general the wildness on the cruise so we can focus on poker.
Yeah. With our own private room and
cocktail party, and you guys will also have things delivered to you.
Some little goodies each day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be so much fun. I'm actually looking forward to being able to sit down at the table and play with some of the Antiup Nation. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And speaking of playing with the Antiup Nation, if you are looking for some training or some ways to give yourself an edge in the game or something like that, we have an exclusive opportunity coming up. Some new training videos from a poker pro.
Lucky Chewy. Which I'm so excited about. He's excited about it. We're excited about it. We hope you're excited about it.
So if it is something that you're excited about, if it's something you would like to take part in, send us an email to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. Let us know. We'll add you to the list. Like I said, we're going to release all these details next week, but we wanted to
let you know in advance that it's coming and let you think about it. If it's something you want to know more information, make sure we've got your email, because all of that information is going to be available email only.
Right. So what else did you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, sitting around a poker table, we're competitive. And there was this wild survey that went out to all states throughout the U.S. from, I forget who sent it out, but.
So, yeah, Captain Gambling. I don't know much about them, but they did the survey all about who copes the best with losing, which is super interesting because women handle it a little bit better than men, which I think we kind of knew already, right?
Clearly.
But basically, 49% of Americans get upset when they lose a game.
Only 44% of women and 51% of men said yes. They get upset when they lose a game.
Yes. So the top of that list was Arkansas. They get the Arkansonians. I don't know. But they get the most upset when they lose a game. Next would be Louisiana, which is interesting because they just don't admit that they lose it.
Yeah, they also don't admit it, which cracks me up. That was a question in the survey.
They just deny that they lost. So if they lose, I didn't lose, you lost.
Coming in at the lowest percentages were Iowa and Utah at 17%. So there were some states with insufficient data. Obviously, this is run by a private company. But I think there were some other interesting questions it asked. Have you gotten in a fight with other players after losing a game? Thank goodness only 15% of people said yes to that. Do you typically let children win games? In this household,
that is a divided answer.
I will, Joe will not. Under any circumstance, let a child win at anything.
No, you don't let them win. They got to learn how to beat you. Anyway, moving on.
Yes. How do you usually express yourself when you do lose? So, some stay calm. Some laugh it off. Some will ask for a rematch. Some walk away. Louisiana denies the loss. The only state that came in high enough of denial.
Louisiana was the only state. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to go play Bure anytime soon. Because I got to learn the game with people who are going to deny a loss? No.
And they're like, no, actually, that's not the way this works. You actually lost.
However, Virginians stay calm.
And actually, in Nevada, they stay calm.
There are things that get under your skin. And there are times that we're all going to fall prey to becoming more animated or frustrated or angry even.
Right.
I mean, we talked about a time on a live stream that I don't even remember. I just know it was a male-female because we talked about it.
Yeah, yeah. And Garrett Adelstein and Robbie Jade Liu. Yeah. The Jack 4 controversy. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not funny. That is not something to laugh about. That was serious. That was over $135,000.
True.
And we watched her feel like she should have to give it back. Because he thought she was cheating.
Right. I do feel like he kind of bullied her into giving that money back. But she did give it back to him with the intention that she thought he would come back to the game, which he did not do. He left, and we actually didn't see him again for
a very long time.
Right. But she actually, speaking of which, she actually just won a tournament. Did you see that?
Also held the winning hand from that particular evening instead of the winning hand at the tournament.
Right. She held up Jack four instead of I think she won the tournament with like Ace Jack or something like that. But she held up the Jack four instead, kind of a needle. So it brings up actually an interesting question, which I will pose to you and the listeners. I mean, how long is too long? Should she just let that go at this point? It's been almost 2 years.
She just did.
You think so? You think
100, that's the end? It might not be the end for him, but she just let him know, I haven't forgotten. And maybe that was her motivation. And it's been a long time since she's won a tournament. So if she had the opportunity to say, I still remember, and I won this one fair and square. Sometimes those losses and those difficult situations are your motivation to move forward, healthy or not.
True.
So I don't know if there's a certain time limit you can put on people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I wouldn't say that he's moved on either. I mean, like I said, you know, we saw him almost a year afterward. We saw him at the WPT. And he was in a live stream on Bally's like maybe a week before that.
And I think it would be different if he wasn't talking to media about it.
Yeah.
Are they both?
I don't think she said a whole lot.
He 100% mentioned it immediately when he was interviewed last summer.
That's true.
At the World Series. So I think this is what I'm saying. She is saying something without saying it. Acknowledging that like, yes, I'm hearing what you're saying. You're still bringing it up. I'm back.
Right.
Let's go. Are you listening? And game on. It's a competitive game. I think you should expect to see behavior like this. Is it always something that people are proud of or that should be happening? Probably not. But you shouldn't be surprised by competitive behavior.
True. I think that she has said her piece now. I think it's time for – it was already time for both of them to move on.
Sure.
So I think
– bigger and better things ahead.
Yeah.
If that's what you mean.
Yeah. You've got to put some of that in the past and concentrate on what you're doing for the future, for sure.
True. But speaking of in the future, we're headed back out on the road. Cannot wait to bet on better with Camp One Step. I know you all have heard us mention this many times. Please go to camponestep.com and check out their charity tournament. If there's seats available, join us. We would really love to see you there. That night, Joe has a bounty on his head. The prize is always fantastic. The grand prize of the evening is a seat to the WSOP this summer. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with a $300 entry for a $10,000 grand prize.
That's right. And I'm hoping LV will be back there again.
So I'd love to see him.
Yeah, I'd like to see him again. And he'll be hopefully able to protect his crown.
Yeah, that'd be neat. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a whirlwind tour. I think we're going to take a week to get up to Chicagoland area. We're going to shoot over to Michigan and then back down to Virginia. If there's places in between Virginia, Chicago, and Michigan that you think we need to stop by, let us know. We always love to hear from you because that's the perspective. And I'm really hoping there's a Buc-ee's on the way. I'm wearing my Buc-ee's sweatshirt today.
That is true.
We stopped one Buc-ee's we stopped at twice,
yeah.
And another one we stopped at. I'm now in the comparison game of Buc-ee's. I know that sounds ridiculous. I have a cooler. I have a sweatshirt. I have napkins.
That's true.
I'm
She bought Buc-ee's napkins.
Why not? It's super fun. When you come over to our house and have a beer, your cocktail napkin can be Buc-ee's. It's hilarious.
We bought a gas tank that you can pour your drink.
Oh my God, that was the best. It looks like an old-fashioned gas pump that you pour three beers into or whatever beverage you would like.
I was gonna say, it doesn't have to be beers.
And then actually pump it out through the nozzle into your glass. We got that for your dad.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed there's a Buc-ee's en route. We'll see. They're still expanding from Texas and beyond.
Yeah.
So if you haven't checked one out, just Google it. It really is what you see. That was what I was surprised by the most.
When we walked in, the people, Elle was so excited when we walked in that the cashier was like, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Because number one, they welcome you in. And then the people making the barbecue, whether it's brisket or chicken, they're back there like shouting and singing like songs. And I just stopped, my mouth wide open, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually real. And everyone around me was like, first timer. We have a first timer over here. Whatever. Their bathrooms are impeccable and their soda fountain is amazing and their snacks are incredible and so are their gifts. I'm going to get a swimsuit. I think I'm going to Bucky swimsuit next. It's going to happen. It's $20.
I will say, you know, if you are traveling and you need to go, you know, make a pit stop, then Bucky's bathrooms are impeccable.
And they everyone in your car will be happy. I don't know how one person could be unhappy stopping there.
It's true.
Anyways, okay. It's always a pleasure being around the table with you, Joe.
Likewise.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would rule on situations that come up in your games. And that's exactly what he's going to do this week. But first, Elliot, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Managed to dig out from all the snow we had over the weekend. We had a flash foot of snow for some reason.
Wow.
And a lot of ice. Every tree was covered in a beautiful winter spectacle. The problem is it brought some power lines down, too. But it was pretty neat. Thank God it's warming up and everything's starting to melt. But yeah, we 3 days into spring, we get just buried in snow and we're all looking around like, is this really possible? Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah. I had no idea. I didn't know that. But yeah, baseball season's getting ready to start and right. You've got snow and ice. Interesting.
Everywhere.
Well, this week you were being asked to settle a debate. So, James Morris says that he recently got into a debate with a friend and would like you to settle it. Basically, here's what happened. He says, I bluffed the river and got called. They showed their hand first, and it was a hand that beat mine, so I mucked my cards, even though I was the last aggressor. I didn't throw them in with the other cards, though. I just pushed them towards the dealer. What my friend is saying is that the player with the winning hand could still request the dealer to show my cards. But I'm under the impression that if I muck my hand, then that's it. The dealer cannot flip my cards up, and even though I was the last aggressor. So please let me know what the right answer is here.
Okay. The right answer is yes, he can see your cards. The rules are in place for two very good reasons. They're a holdover from the days when these games were dealt by hand and not dealt by dealers. So being able to see hands at showdown was one of the big things in that era, which would prevent collusion and cheating, chip dumping, those kinds of things. The second very good reason is that poker at its heart is a game of buying and selling. When you place a wager, you're selling shares in your hand. You're basically saying, I've got the best hand. That's why I'm betting. If you're calling, you're saying, no, I'm willing to bet that you have the worst hand. A microcosm of capitalism. But the information is being bought and sold. The information being the contents of your hand. And once you make a bet and your opponent calls, your opponent has agreed to the contract. He is match the price of the information, he has met your asking price, and he has bought that information. And that is what happens here, and that's what the rules enforce. So player A bets, player B calls, catching a bluff, turns his hand over. Player A relinquishes their hand without showing, even though player A had bet. So player B gets to see the hand. They paid to see the hand. It's a very simple transaction. It's fair. That doesn't mean it's not a breach of etiquette. which is different, and some etiquette rules are enforced, and some are just plain etiquette. And asking to see a hand in this spot is certainly what some would consider bad form. I mean, win the pot, just win it gracefully, take the chips, be glad you caught the bluff, and move on with the next hand.
Right.
But some people make calls with the intention of getting information, and that's part of this game. And it's not part of the game that should be removed. It needs to stay in the game. So asking to see in that spot needs to be honored. It's an accepted rule, and it's fine. It's part of the game. When you buy and sell information, well, the person buying the information, therefore entitled to the information, they match the purchase price. They called the bet. It's pretty simple. I don't recommend doing it in a lot of spots. If you win the pot, win gracefully. Take the chips, move. Just be good about it. But occasionally, this is going to come up, and hopefully the dealer is going to call the floor over so that the floor takes the heat, not the dealer.
Right.
But yeah, having the cards turned over in the spot is correct. It's within the rules, and it should be allowed. I mean, if there's one hand that should be seen upon request, it is the hand belonging to the player who made the bet that got called. That's a big part of this game. It keeps it fair. His information was purchased. It was agreed to.
Right. I guess the only thing I would say, though, is he's probably not going to ask for it. He has every right to if he wants to. He's probably, if he wanted to see the hand badly, he could have just waited for you to turn your hand over, because you would be the one to have to do that first in this case anyway. So,
in a perfect world, that would be the case. But there are a lot of times when a bettor gets called and says, yeah, I'm bluffing, you can take it. The guy who calls them turns their hand over, and then you relinquish. So even though you did wait out the sequence of events in the hope for correct order, the initiator of the action, the aggressor, did not show or declined to show because, well, they were caught bluffing. So that doesn't always work. And again, if they get caught bluffing, it doesn't mean they have the right to have their cards not seen. That's not part of the game.
Right. Right. Well, let me ask you this too, though. He made a point to say, you know, he just pushed them toward the dealer. He didn't throw them into the other cards. But even if he had thrown them into the other cards, assuming that this happened quickly enough, as long as they were retrievable, then he can still ask for them.
Yeah, the standard identifiable and retrievable holds to this spot too. So yeah. Again, throwing them to the muck or just pushing them forward, they're identical. There's no difference. Death by contact, irretrievability by contact, those are mythical standards that are not upheld in today's game and should not exist. So again, yeah, that releasing them, pushing them forward is the same as throwing them to the middle of the table or toward the muck.
Yeah.
They're identical in our eyes and should remain so.
There you go, James. It sounds like that is the end of that debate.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you can find someone to try and get a second opinion, but it's going to be the same. So
very likely.
So, yeah, I would say that this one concludes here. But I do appreciate you sending it in.
Absolutely.
It's always good discussions. And Elliot, as always, appreciate you having your perspective on it as well.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to do it.
And we'll talk again next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We are back with another Hand of the Week with our resident novice, Patrick. How's it going, man?
Joe, we're back. I'm good, man. Yourself?
I'm good. You notice I have stopped just short of calling you a fish. It's the novice. You've gotten better, so I'm not going to go to fish. So we're a step above that. We're at novice level.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I feel like Let me put it this way. I'm sure our listeners are thinking the same thing. There are some weeks out there they're like, you know what? All right, this guy's he's getting there. He's getting somewhere. And then there's that week that gets plugged in, you know, after three or four good runs in a row, and they're like, what is he thinking? But that's why we do it. We go through the hand of the week, we play him out, see how this goes, and learn from there.
Right. Right. Well, before we jump into this hand this week, let's give another shout out to Jackpot Digital, our sponsor of Hand of the Week. And I just literally right before we started recording, I just saw that they have signed an agreement to distribute the poker tables, the electronic poker tables across Asia. So
oh, we are worldwide now.
They are tackling the world. See, they've got Jimmy Johnson. See how I did that?
Oh, I like that. You know, a little play on words there. I like it. You know, we were just talking about these too. I mean, it's a matter of time before one of our listeners, you know, really gets to sit down and play these tables, and I can't wait, you know, for another one. But yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, they are truly exponentially growing and making a run out of this, and obviously love their, you know, partnership from Ground Floor that we have with them, and
can't
wait to see where they go.
Been phenomenal to watch, and so we'll see where it goes. So this week, we have a hand sent in by Dan Beasley. All right. And he is playing 2-5.
Come.
He says, a new dealer just came in, which he's thankful for because he has $1,000 in his stack on a fresh bullet that we were just stacked on the hand prior. So I guess he's happy to see the new dealer.
I would say so.
In this particular hand, we start with under the gun plus one opens to $15. The low jack calls, and the cutoff, who is an aggressive reg, three bets to $55. We are on the button with the 10 of clubs, 10 of spades. Didn't we have pocket tens?
It wasn't last hand, but it was the week before.
Was it? It might have been. Yeah. So
interesting.
So what are you gonna do here?
55 to us. I'm probably just calling that. I mean, I want to play it. I mean, I like the tens, but I don't want to go over the top any more than that. I think the 55 clears a lot of people out from there. That follows after me, right?
Well, that was my question. I don't know. I don't think it's going to clear out everybody. The question is, does the under the gun plus one fold? Because if he calls, then so does the low jack because he's priced in. So if the order goes where the under the gun plus one folds, then we stand a chance of low jack folding. But if under the gun plus one calls, then low jack probably comes along as well.
Yeah.
I'm going back and forth on this one because we have position in our favor, right? Which True. Is a good thing. I want to play the hand with position, but I really want to get that cutoff heads up. And I don't think 55 is going to get both of them out.
That's fair. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. The other side of that coin, though, if we raise, we've got to go to something like $200.
Okay, so there's where the novice thought comes in. That's not where I want to go. If I've got, I don't know, if I've got aces or kings or, you know, ace, king, something like that, then I'm probably feeling a lot better about that. But I don't want to go there, to be honest with you, and that's where my thought process was with just calling. And it might come back to bite me in the butt, you know, we shall see, but.
Yeah, I think that I definitely get it, because if we raise it to 200, then that pot starts getting big pretty quickly.
Yep.
We do have 200 big blinds. We rebought for 200 big blinds. So right. I think we can get away with some calls here. For sure. And that's what Dan does. He calls.
Okay.
and under the gun plus one calls and the low jack calls.
There you go. You called that one.
Yeah, that's definitely not what we want to see. You want to hope that you get rid of at least one of them, but unfortunately not in this case. So there's 200.
220.
Just so we'll peel the curtain back just a little bit here and give everybody an idea. Usually I send these hands to Elle. She can put them in a little format so that I cannot see what's happening, but everything flows smoothly. It has the pot calculated there and whatnot. But I did not have a chance to do that this week. So we're going back to the old school way of doing it, which is I just blow the font size up really big on a Word document so that I have to scroll to be able to see what happens next. So we're calculating the pot size on the cuff here. So I think that puts the pot at 227 with the blinds in there.
Yeah, with the blinds. Yep.
Yeah, the blinds were...
Yeah, that's right.
They were kind enough to donate their money. And the flop is the 8 of hearts, 9 of spades, 10 of diamonds. The under the gun plus one and low jack both check. The cutoff bets $50. Then it's to us.
Cutoff is not gonna be enough, pal.
Right.
That's... The price of this game has gone up, my friend. Well, clearly a 10 came out on the board, which we love to see. If you take a step back real quick before you throw in chips in, obviously 8, 9, 10 is out there. So you don't love to see that. But, you know, at the same point, you got to play your hand as well. So, you know, pot's 227. I mean, I'm thinking a pot bet here. I don't know where your mindset is, but I'm probably going, you know, 2 to 220 in my head.
Okay.
I don't know what you're thinking.
I was thinking 175 to 200. So we're close to in the same ballpark. $50 is definitely a pretty small bet. So especially for somebody that they're saying is a pretty aggressive player, that's not playing very aggressive. So I'm definitely raising, but I also want to think about why. Why is he only betting $50 into that? Because is it because he wants us to put more, you know, he wants calls from everybody.
Yeah, that was definitely a very quick thought, you know, as he's sitting on, you know, Jack Queen, something like that. So it was definitely a thought. I mean, if we're being baited, I think we'll find out pretty quick here as the bets flow if it's a quick call, but we shall see. Got to keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's in the back of my mind, but I definitely would want to raise as well. So Dan raises, so he's on the same page with us. Okay. He makes it 150.
Okay.
Under the gun plus one folds and the low jack folds, and the cutoff calls.
Okay.
So that should put 527.
Yep.
And the turn is the 4 of clubs. Now the cutoff checks to us. So why? Why is he checking?
he's either got aces or kings, and he's sitting there just, you know, kind of seeing what's what, or he's got queen jack. That's what I'm banking on. It's either one of the two, and I guess you got to figure out, you know, if he is an aggressive player, if we're going to take that into the fold, then I guess I'm leaning towards, you know, he was holding aces or he's holding kings or something to that effect, and he hasn't quite gotten there yet. I don't know if that's within the realm of what you were thinking, but.
Well, here's, if he had an overpair and we bet, then we'll know. I think we definitely have to put a bet in here to find out.
Yeah. Dan bet 150. I mean, my thought process with a check to us was, you know, whatever the bet was, you know, previous, I was going to, you know, it's going to be a little less than half pot for me. I mean, I was going to throw another 200 in. You know, if Dan's, if we're sitting there playing Dan's hand and he did 150, you know, I think you got to do at least 150 if you're Dan, you know, hopefully closer to 200 in my mind. It's going to get a lot of questions answered, I think, if you catch a call there.
I think, yeah, that's exactly my point is I think I want to go like half pot. So 250 probably.
Okay.
And like you said, we get a lot of questions answered from there.
Yeah.
So let's see, Dan bets 175.
Okay.
And the cutoff tanks for about a full minute and shoves for 795 total. That's gross.
That's not what you wanted.
Oh,
I don't know why. I don't know if it's, I think that is a full blown, I'm going to buy this pot bluff. I don't know why I've got that gut feeling. I do. An aggressive player. He's missed so far. He's continued to miss. He wants to still be the big aggressive player. I don't know why, but I'm making him on like ace king or ace queen or something to that effect.
Okay.
I could be very wrong, but I think that's where I'm at.
Well, let's go back. Let's review for a minute.
Okay.
Pre-flop. Under the gun, plus one, raised to 15. There was a caller from LoJack, and then he three bets, right?
Yep.
Then he bets super small on a board that didn't have any flush draws on it.
No, but it had a straight draw, a very nice.
Had a straight that was could possibly already be made.
Yep.
But my point being, there's not a flush draw out there. So he's betting small, which makes me think maybe he flopped that straight. I think that because he has said he's an aggressive player, so because he put that out there, he's an aggressive player, and now he's kind of changed his tune. Whenever somebody changes their style of play, that means something, right?
True. It does. And is he changing his style of play to bait us in? That's what you're getting at.
Yeah. So this game is a game where information matters. And if you ignore the information, then you fail the game. And I don't want to ignore the information. I think I fold.
Oof. Okay. We are on opposite sides. You know what? I may have literally like prefaced myself by saying I had three or four good hands in a row. And this might be the one week, but
I mean, no, you may be right.
What's our friend Dan do?
I'm trying to find it.
Okay. No, you're good.
Dan calls the shove, and the cutoff shows the Queen of Spades, Jack of Diamonds.
I'm not playing the lottery tonight. Oh, man. Okay. This is going to be a very, very good learning hand for any other novice out there, for anybody. But you're right. He changes style.
Yeah, and he says, at the time, I was thinking there was no way that I could fold to the shove of the super aggro player, tilt notwithstanding. So he didn't even mention that he was on tilt, but he did now. he said, I felt like it was a pretty straightforward spot, honestly. Now that it's been 24 hours, I'm wondering if there truly was another way to play it. And then he says, by the way, the river was the nine of clubs, so I win an over $2,000 pot.
Oh, no. Let's go, Dan. Let's go. All right. There's a lot to untackle there. All right. So for everyone out there, he throws out the queen. What'd you say? None of that matters, but Queen of Spades, Jack of whatever, right?
Diamonds, yeah.
Okay, so he did. He flopped the nut straight. And we're drawing basically dead, and then the very beautiful
miracle
nine
card.
Up. Miracle card comes out, and you just take down a hand. So now that we can take the breather on that one, first off, round of applause to Dan. Well done,
sir. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great Woo! Call at the end of the day. However, I think it goes back to, at least from my point of view, is you're right in information does matter. And from an aggressive player, I still stand by, correct me if I'm wrong, I still stand by the fact that it obviously could have been the other way, but it's more likely. I mean, this is a game of percentages. We all do it. It's more likely percentage-wise that it's what you were thinking. He's changing his style to bait us in. And you're probably right in that sense.
Yeah. I think that you can't be afraid to be bluffed either, right? So
yeah.
In this case, $600, 600 and some, 600 and some change, I think it is, that we would have to make the call for. That was the only point in this hand, preflop and that one are the only points in that hand where he was aggressive as an aggressive player. So, like I said, I just feel like you have to pay attention to the information that is in front of you. And yeah. So everything about that felt like we were in trouble, but it worked out for sure.
Absolutely. I love that. Oh, and by the way, the nine came on the river. Let's go. I love that.
Yeah, I love it. So, man, Dan, thanks for sending that in. I do think this is an opportunity to think about, though, you know, in poker, pay attention to every little detail, whether it be, you know, with some players, it's timing. With some players, it's betting style, posture. All the things add up to a story. So pay attention to those things. And if you don't fold in those hands, then you're just kind of left hoping that a nine falls on the river.
And in some cases it does, but in most it does not. But yeah, I mean, that's, you're absolutely right. Every bit of information there was there for it. Pre-flop, aggressive player, his MO, right on target. And then it starts to come off. And that's, you know, he was doing exactly what you were thinking. So, I mean, every little bit there.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too, is you're not going to bet him off. I mean, you couldn't have done anything else to bet him off. He flopped the nut straight. So he was just waiting for you to throw in chips.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Dan, I am so glad that worked out for you. Thank you so much for sending that in. And Patrick, let's go watch some baseball.
That sounds good. Opening day's here. Yep. Just got to find a way to what score more runs. That's what they say in baseball. So let's go. All right, my friend. We'll see you next week.
It's time for Joe's One Outer.
In poker, the journey to mastery is an ongoing pursuit. A lot of players will rely solely on their own instincts and experiences, but now an increasing number of people are turning to some form of coaching to accelerate their progress. Whether you're a novice player aiming to build a strong foundation, or you're a seasoned veteran striving to refine your strategies, poker coaching offers insights and guidance that can make all the difference at the tables. I guess I would say coaching has the ability to basically streamline the process. I mean, spending hours studying at the tables and experimenting, learning, that can get expensive. Coaching can help you identify areas for improvement and maybe even offer some new strategies. Basically, a coach can help you progress more rapidly than you would on your own. I mean, it's easy to fall into these patterns that may be holding you back. Coaching can bring an outsider's perspective. They can offer insights and strategies that you may not have even considered before, which can help you break out of those stagnant habits, challenge your assumptions, and maybe even open your eyes to new possibilities. We're all unique. We have our own strengths and weaknesses and goals. But no matter where you are in that poker journey, staying ahead of the competition is essential for your success. Coaching can give you an advantage by helping you stay on top of the latest trends, developments, and innovations of the game. They can share their insights into current strategies, advanced tactics, new tools even, which then helps you stay that one step ahead of your opponents. Poker is as much a game of psychology as it is a game of skill. Confidence and mental toughness, quote unquote, are crucial. When you are focused, you make better decisions under pressure and bounce back quicker from setbacks. And coaching can help you cultivate those skills too. The thing is, poker coaching is not just a luxury that's reserved for those elite players. It's an indispensable tool for anyone serious about taking their game to any kind of next level. Whether you're aiming to climb the ranks as a professional, or maybe you're just simply looking to improve your performance in a friendly home game, a poker coach can yield significant returns, and that's why Elle and I are so excited to unveil our poker coaching cooperation with Lucky Chewy, and I know you're going to love it. That's today's One Outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Ante Up Podcast is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@anteupmagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@anteupmagazine.com.